In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We are now at Sexagesima Sunday, and the weeks are fastly progressing towards the penitential season of Lent. And our Holy Mother, the Church, has chosen today's epistle and gospel, I think, to reinforce the idea that we are all different. We all approach the Word of God differently, but we are all meant to work together. I know many who could look at today's gospel. Our Lord gives the parable of the sower who went out to sow his seed, and some seed fell on rocks and on the highway, and some fell among thorns, and some fell on good ground. And our Lord says, this seed that is sown in the parable is the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to each one of us, but we each receive it differently. And if I look at the parable, I could say, well, the rock can't help being a rock. It's not the rock's fault. And I think this gives us a fatalistic attitude. You see, the Word of God came to me. It's not my fault that I'm a rock and I can't receive the Word of God. It's not my fault that I'm a highway and the birds of the air or the devils come and take it away from me. It's not my fault. And we have this fatalistic temptation, I guess, to throw up our hands and say, I can't help it. I am what I am, and it's not my fault. And I think we are missing the whole point of the parable. And just to prove that to you, I can take you back to St. Paul's epistle today to the Corinthians, where he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, are these men these things? I'm that too. Are they Jews? I'm a Jew. Are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew. Are they sons of Abraham? I am a son of Abraham. Are they followers of Christ? I to be a fool? I'm much more. I've done all these things. I've suffered all these things. But I'm speaking foolishly. These are not things to boast about. Whatever was thrown at St. Paul, he embraced it. That was his cross to carry, time and time again. And I think in today's parable from the gospel, our Lord is showing us, time and time again, the Word of God is coming to us, and we must make ourselves worthy. We must open our heart to receive it. If our heart is the stony ground, then we must begin to pull out the stones. If our heart is hard like a pathway, then we need to break it up, get out the shovel, the pickaxe, whatever it takes. Maybe it's dynamite. Soften the earth up. If our heart is filled with weeds, pluck them out. Make room before the wheat is planted, before the good seed is planted. Make sure that our hearts are worthy to receive this Word of God. That is in our power. But yet each one of us is different. Each one of us has a different heart, a different soul. The soil of our heart is different. And we must each look in and see, what kind of soil do I have in my heart? And then what should I do about it? How can I make my heart worthy to receive the Word of God? How can I allow the Word of God to come into my heart, germinate, grow, produce fruits, and spread these graces to the world around me, to my family, my friends, my neighbors, my co-workers, to everyone around me? How can I produce this fruit a hundredfold that our Lord is speaking of? And it's useless to compare ourselves to the next man over there. I just need to do what that man did. That man's soil is different than yours. A good farmer doesn't go out and just spread fertilizer willy-nilly every year. The good farmer tests the soil, doesn't he? He tests the soil to see what nutrients it needs. and he compares the soil with the crop he wants to grow and the needs of the crop. He studied it. He's analyzed it. He doesn't just go and spread fertilizer. He looks to see exactly what kind of fertilizer he needs, how much he needs, what concentration it should be, what is the best method of application. Farming's not one thing and it's over. Each soil is different. Often, even on the same farm, the same land, you'll have one plot needs this and another plot that needs that. They're examined and treated individually. Our hearts, our souls, need to be examined individually. Just because something is good for that man over there doesn't mean it's going to be good for me. And I know we have the old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Abram, do you know what a goose and a gander are? How about Amos? No? You know what a goose is, right? Oh. Well, the gander is just the mate for the goose. They work together. What's good for mom is good for dad. We can say that, but we know it's not really true, is it? Materially speaking, one person's medicine is another man's poison. What helps one person doesn't necessarily help another person. And it's even more true with our souls. We must examine our souls. What do we need to do to welcome the grace of God, this seed that God is giving to us? How do I welcome this into my heart and let it grow and develop, make it produce the most abundant fruit? What do I need to do? And I've mentioned many times that we need to get rid of this idea of equality. We're not in competition with one another. We need to complement one another. We need to help one another. And especially in the spiritual life. I've met many of the previous generation who think that they can smack virtue into their children. If I just beat them hard enough, they will behave, right? Maybe there's some parents today think that works too. If I could just smack some sense into them, make them behave, and I could force them into heaven. And I think that's foolish talk, because you start smacking someone, the first thing they do is rebel. I hate you. I'm not going to listen to you. You can physically force me to do this because you're bigger than I am, you're stronger than I am, but you can't make me love it. You can't make me want it. And I often preach that you can't push your children into heaven, you have to lead them there. And if you're not on your way to heaven, your children don't have a chance. You can't push them into heaven while you're on the way to hell. You have to invite them. Our Lord didn't come and force anybody. He came to invite. You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. And you say, how do I know such human psychology that they're going to rebel? Because I was a kid too. Whether you want to believe it or not, little ones, I was once your age. And I can tell you that when I was forced to do something, well, I complied because I didn't want to get in trouble. I did what I had to, at least follow the external, the letter of the law. But with the inside of me, I was plotting and conniving, figuring out how that, yes, I can appear to obey, but not really obey. I can look like I'm doing what they want, but not really. Do little girls ever think like that? No? You don't know? Oh, my goodness. I can give you an example. My father would take us fishing. He'd say, you want to go fishing? Now, my father wanted us to have a good time, don't you think? Take time out of his day. Let's go fishing. No, I don't want to go fishing. I work in a bait shop. I'm tired of fish. I don't want to go fishing. That's not a vacation for me. That's not relaxing, but you don't argue with your father, right? Your father says, let's go fishing. Okay, you go fishing. And we would stand on the bank with our cane pole, and everybody else is catching fish, but not me, because I don't want to go fishing. And my father would come over and say, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you catching fish? Everybody else is catching fish. Let me see your hook. So I pull out my pole, and guess what? I do have a hook on the end of the line, but there's no bait. I didn't put a worm on my hook. And after he tells me how stupid I am and makes me put a worm on the hook, I put a worm on the hook and put my hook back in the water. And as soon as he turns his back, I pull the hook out, take the worm off, throw the worm in the water, and put my bare hook back in the water. You can make me stand here and hold this stupid pole and go fishing, but you can't make me catch fish. You can make me do these things, but you can't make me have fun. You can't make me enjoy this. And so I say, absolutely, you can't push anyone into being happy. You can't force anyone into heaven. And I think a much easier tactic, a much better tactic would have showed, okay, you don't want to fish? You sit here and watch everybody else catch fish. Look at all them having fun, and then maybe you'll want to do it too. And that may have worked. I don't guarantee it, but it may have. We can't force anyone into heaven. And we must make allowances that everyone is different. Just because all your siblings like to do this doesn't mean that you're going to like to do it. Just because everybody else wants to go here or do this doesn't mean that everyone wants to do it. That I want to do it. And I think that's something we fail to comprehend, that we are each different. And that's a long way of going around to tell us that we're all spiritually different. And with the upcoming season of Lent, what penances, what prayers, what mortifications are good for you may not be good for your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. We can't all expect to do exactly the same spiritual things and obtain the same spiritual results. It wasn't enough, as St. Paul says, that we're all children of Abraham. I'm that too. We've all suffered. We've all had a cross. So what? The cross that you received is different from the cross your neighbor received. What do you need? What do you want? Just a few Sundays ago, we saw a different parable of our Lord who gave a single coin to everyone, no matter how much they worked. The ones who worked 1 hour got the coin, and the ones who worked 12 hours got the same coin. We say it's not fair. And I believe I pointed out that to one man who receives a $10 bill, that means the whole world to him. To another man, you give him a $10 bill, he says, thank you very much, sticks it in his pocket. Okay, no big deal. To one, it's the difference between life and death. To other one, it's nothing. It's the same amount of money, but it means has completely different value, subjectively speaking, for each individual person. And so I encourage you this upcoming season of Lent, find a prayer that touches your soul. Don't worry so much about which one has the most indulgences attached to it. Don't worry about whether it was this saint or that saint who composed your prayer. What is important is whether it means something to you. For us to repeat someone else's prayer and our heart is not in it, we become like robots. It's empty. We become distracted. And so my goal is for you to find a devotion, a prayer, and make it your own, so that when you pray it, it's coming from your heart. I'm not just repeating what St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas or St. Bonaventure, what they wrote, what they prayed, that means nothing to me because I don't have the same soil that they have. The preparation that they had to make for their own souls is not the same preparation that I need to make for mine. And I say the preparation that I need to make for my soul is not the same preparation you need to make for your soul. Think about it. What kind of soil do I have? What is my soul like? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be corrected? What can I do? And not look at my neighbor. It doesn't matter what my neighbor has, what my neighbor's doing, what my neighbor has done, what has worked for my neighbor. That may be a good help, a place to start if you don't know where to start. See what worked for somebody else and try, oh, maybe it'll work for me, try it. But keep looking till you find that devotion that is going to transform your soul and to make it receptive to the Word of God. That's what we need to focus upon. And there is no one answer for everyone. And I don't want to force and say, oh, this is what you must do. Because some are rocks, some are highways, some are filled with weeds. The medicine that is necessary, or the fertilizer that is necessary, the preparation that is necessary, is different. We need to examine ourselves. Find what we need. Not so much in relation to one another, but in relationship with God. What is good for my soul? What prayers, what devotions, what sacrifices, what mortifications, what do I need to give up? And do it for the love of God. Seek to follow Christ. And in this, we will have the perfect Advent. Benedictio Dei Omnipotens, excuse me, Lent. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et mania semper. Amen.